Well, I'll call the meeting to order, sorry, the Pacifica National Board, 8:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, July 25th, 2005. And yeah, I think it goes through roll call.
Okay. Marty Derlin? Steve Pierce?
Here.
LaVarne Williams? William Walker? Fadi Sabah, Star Renhawa.
Here.
Dave Adelson.
Here.
Maria Armunian.
Here.
Julie Rodriguez.
Here.
Donna Warren. Here. Joe Montez. Nkosi Kamal.
Here.
Wendy Schroll. Teresa Allen.
Here.
Patty Heffley.
Here.
Ray LaForce. Bob Letterer.
Here.
Michael Tariq Warren.
Here.
Ambrose Lang.
Here.
Mark Roberts. Rob Robertson.
Here.
Serena Shakir. Lonnie Hicks. Okay, I'll go back on the missed ones in case somebody came in. Marty Derlin. LaVarne Williams. William Walker. Fadi Sabah. Joe Montez. Wendy Schroll. Ray LaForest. Mark Roberts. Serena Shakir.
Oh, Mark Roberts, yes.
Mark Roberts?
Yes.
Here? Okay. Zarina Shakir and Lonnie Hicks.
Did you call Patty?
Yeah, Patty.
Yes, and she said yes. Okay. Madam Chair, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, including the interim executive director.
Great. Thank you, Donna. Now we'll move to approving the agenda. I'm assuming that everyone has received it. If not, well, I did send it out to, again, 5 minutes before the meeting, but I also sent it out last week, so hopefully.
Julie, it's the same agenda you sent last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and just read over it really briefly. It's roll call and then approval of the agenda, 5 minutes, approval of minutes, 5 minutes. ESC report, 20 minutes. Coordinating committee motions, 30 minutes. Includes new communications policy, or I guess changes in the communications policy, bylaws working committee, and podcasting working group. And then we have a report from the bylaws working committee and the ED update, which will include ADA audits and the former ED and assistant computers.
Okay.
Move adoption.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Donna.
And I just sent it out a few minutes ago, but I want to remind the body that we did have some motions that were carried over to this meeting. So, and the motions, some of them, one of them at least, can be taken care of, the approval of the minutes, because it was the motion to approve the Berkeley executive session minutes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that passed to postpone it to this meeting. Another one was, let me see. Okay, there was only one more, and that was the director's inspection rights that, what was moved, well, it wasn't really moved because the motion wasn't voted on. Well, I'm wondering, how do you want to do this? For the director's inspection rights, the motion was that the board adopt a policy to respond to director's rights predicated on legal advice. Until this happens, no more director inspections. But the motion was not voted on.
So it dies.
Yeah.
Okay, so that one's out, right?
Yeah, you can't move it from meeting to meeting.
Okay. Okay. So I think that was the only one.
Okay. So, well, why don't we move into, once we adopt the agenda, what we could do is discuss the Berkeley executive session minutes.
I move to
adoption of that.
Adopt the agenda.
As part of the minutes agenda
second.
Item.
Second.
Quick question here. Finding the attorney thing, do you guys want a quick report from Ambrose and me, or Ambrose, do you think it's premature?
No. All we have to do is tell him. I'll do that.
Can we put that on the agenda? It will take all.
It'll be in my update.
Yeah, we'll include that in Ambrose's update.
Okay.
May I ask a point of information?
Yes, Teresa.
My question is, Maria and Ambrose, did you consider the three firms that we had the information on from a prior PNB meeting? I just wonder.
No.
No, I don't think anybody. I don't have that info.
You know what? Can we actually wait until we the item comes up to discuss?
I just wondered.
Okay. Thanks, Teresa. We'll be sure to address that then. Are there any? Well, I guess we'll move. I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay. I'll second that.
What was that, Teresa?
I move that we approve the agenda.
Okay. Is there a second?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of seconds. I did.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any objections? Okay, hearing none. Let's go to approval of the minutes. And before I forget, we should talk about the executive session minutes that were still on the table. I know people were concerned that they didn't have enough time to look at them, so now we've had, I guess, about a month to look them over. So,
point of order, Julie.
Yes, Bob.
I don't think we can discuss executive session minutes in a public meeting. I think we have to go into executive session in order to do that, because if somebody questions the way, you know, a discussion was summarized, then that would reveal information that, you know, is not to be made public.
Well, it was my understanding that we can approve minutes as long as we're not discussing the content of those minutes. If people have objections to approving them, then we won't approve them, but I don't think that we need to get into a content discussion.
Okay. Well, as long as those are the ground rules, that sounds fine.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Then can I make a motion that we approve the minutes?
Okay. Thanks, Bob. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Are there any objections to approving the Berkeley Executive Session meeting minutes? Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and approve those minutes. Donna, do we have other minutes before us that still need approval?
We haven't approved any minutes. including our very first minutes from January. No minutes are approved. But the only motion that we had last time was for the executive session minutes from the Berkeley meeting.
Oh. Madam Chairman?
Yes?
Can I ask the Secretary if there are minutes before us that are unapproved that we can approve at this time?
I can only speak for the minutes when I took over as Secretary, which I sent out starting with May the 31st.
And none of those minutes have been approved either?
No. And those include May the 31st, executive session, June the 13th, executive session, June the 17th through the 19th. We just approved the executive session. We did not approve the open session. And June the 27th, executive session. We haven't approved any of those minutes.
I move we approve all those minutes.
I second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
And they have been distributed to us.
Yes.
Yes. I'm good about distributing minutes, as well as just motions and the content of it. So are there any objections to approving all pending minutes?
Well, this is Bob. I'm reluctant to object because we are behind on this, but because there wasn't a specific notice about this, I didn't review them, and I would just feel more comfortable if I reviewed them before voting on them. And I, there may be, perhaps there are other directors in the same boat.
Okay. Then can we go ahead and move to a roll call vote?
Well, I guess I was asking if there was anyone who would join me in moving to in wanting to table this.
Bob, I would too.
I would join you.
I haven't had a chance to read them.
Okay.
Then I move to postpone consideration until our next teleconference.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Are there any objections to postponing approval of all pending minutes for the next teleconference? Giving folks enough time to review them, please.
May I ask
I object.
A question? I need to ask the question, Madam Chair, because when you say pending minutes, we also had minutes from January and the meeting in between. I don't have copies of those. So, I mean, I probably could get copies of those, but how do you want to handle that when you say pending minutes? Are you including the ones from the January and the, was it March, April, the March meeting too?
I'm meaning the ones that are before us.
Oh, before us. Oh, okay.
And actually, could you include those dates in the minutes of this meeting, Donna, so that folks have clear dates for all of the minutes that need to be approved?
Okay, including the ones from January and March?
No, just the ones that are before us.
Oh, okay, okay.
The ones that you just listed off right now?
Okay, I will.
Great, thanks. But there was objections to Bob's motion, so we're going to need to move to a roll call vote.
Okay, and what is the what are we voting on?
On Bob's motion.
I move to postpone consideration of the minutes starting in, what month was it?
May the 13th.
May.
From May until our next teleconference.
I second that.
And that was Rob who seconded it?
No, Therese.
Okay. You don't want to be called Michael?
Either way. Whatever you feel comfortable with. You know, whatever satisfies your palate. As long as you can go ahead and go to sleep and feel comfortable with your palate tonight. That's fair. As long as there's no underlying sinister motives.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, the motion is to, and Bob, you can correct me, postpone the minutes, the dates that I just called out. Until the next meeting, Bob?
The next teleconference meeting.
Until the next teleconference meeting. Okay. Marty Derlin? Okay. You know what? I think I'm only going to call the people who I know are present on the line, and if I don't call your name, let me know so I can mark you present and count your vote.
Good.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Steve Pierce?
Abstain.
Far?
Yes.
Dave? David? Adelson? Maria?
Yes.
Donna? Yes. Nkosi?
Yes.
Teresa? Patty?
Abstain.
I'll come back to you, Teresa. Bob?
No.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob is
Bob,
saying,
not Rob.
Say Bob or Rob, Donna.
I said Bob. Michael?
All right, yes.
Okay, is Ambrose voting?
Abstain.
Oh.
How's that?
I was going to ask him the chair that. Mark?
Yes.
Rob?
No.
Okay, coming back to Dave.
Excuse me, Don, it's Lavarne. I'm here.
Okay, Lavarne's here. Do you know the motion?
Yes, I do.
Okay, how do you want to vote? You want me to come back? Lavarne?
I'm sorry, I said you didn't hear me. I said no.
Oh, you said no. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you. Dave Adelson.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Patty. Can you hear me?
I can. Oh, I thought you abstained.
Me? I did abstain, yes.
Okay. Teresa? I know Teresa's on the call. I can't. Did anybody hear her vote?
No.
Okay. Well, in that case, that's it. Okay. And Teresa, I did not get your vote. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yes. And 1, 2 no's, 1, 2, 3 abstain. The motion passes, Madam Chair.
Okay, thanks, Donna. All right, now moving into the...
Hello, Julie, this is Ray. Before you move, I just want to know that I'm on the phone, on the call.
Oh, great. Ray, how
sorry to be late.
No, Ray is not on the call.
Julie, this is Bob. One other item on the minutes is the January through April minutes.
Yes.
I don't think we need a motion for this. Could we just request, I know it's a bit of work, but if we could ask the Secretary to round them up from the different people who took them so that we can also vote on those at the next meeting.
I don't mind rounding them up, but with the people who actually took them, with the exception of Mike Martin, that's you, Rob, and Dave, you took one day, right?
Did I? I may have taken some. I can look.
Okay, and William, I'm just going to ask you guys to send them to me, please.
Well, actually, just as far as the January meeting, Leilani ended up doing, I think, the final version, and Dan forwarded it to us a while back.
I didn't, never saw those. But if I can get them, Ambrose, could I get that from National?
Well, let me check and see. If I find them, I'll give them to you.
Hi, Wendy's here. I'm so sorry I'm late.
Okay.
Hi, Wendy.
Donna, this is Rob. The stuff that I worked on, Mike Martin and I submitted in April. I'll resend it to you.
Thank you.
But those are the only ones that I did, as far as I can recall.
Yeah, I know. That's all.
Sure.
So was there a motion or something?
No.
No, I was
Chair?
Just asking
no.
Informally if you could agree to take that on, Donna.
Yeah, as long as they send them to me, I'll be happy to.
Great, thank you.
Okay, and can you get in touch with William, Donna, since he's not on the call?
William, yes.
Yeah.
This is Wendy. Can I say something?
Yes.
The what we got at the Berkeley meeting from the LA meeting in January was not really the minutes. It was the transcript that we, I guess, had somebody do from the recording. It wasn't really a summary. It was like everything everybody said. It was in our board packets.
Not only that, but some of it was incorrect.
Point of clarification, I thought that, I guess it was Rob, or someone just said that Leilani edited those minutes and sent them forward, and they may be at National. Is that what I just heard?
This is Bob. That's what I said. I'm not 100% sure I'm right about that. I do find in my email here some minutes by Leilani of the April 25th meeting, but I remember seeing minutes of the January meeting that were beyond the very rough draft that William had given us earlier. So it would be worth checking at the National office.
Yeah, okay. I'll check it.
Okay.
Okay, so Ambrose, you're going to check and see if you can...
Right, and so I'll get them to Donna.
Okay, thank you very much. And then, Donna, we should also touch base with William.
Yeah.
On that.
Okay.
Okay. So moving on, is there any further discussion about the minutes? Okay, moving on is the Executive Search Committee report.
Okay, hello?
Yes.
All right, this is Mark here, and I really don't have a substantial amount to report since we last met. As you know, we contracted with an executive search firm. We've met with them quite a bit. We put together a posting for the web, which I forwarded copies to everyone, and we've gone forward with that. We also have a print ad, which is just a shortened version because of the cost. Related to that, and I spoke to the firm today, and to date we've received 26 resumes responding to the postings, and we haven't even started the current run yet. And of those 26, you know, there's a number of some very good possibilities, according to them, in there. We'll meet again with that firm on the 2nd of August to get an update. And between now and then, basically, we'll be just receiving resumes and things of that nature. And also working on coming up with a summary job description that's a little shorter than the long thing that we can send to those candidates who are deemed possibilities or strong possibilities in the second round. But right now we're just in the first round and things are moving along, and the firm is doing a good job. I don't know if anyone else on the committee wants to add anything to that.
I'd like to ask a question, if I may.
Go ahead, Dave.
What about on-air advertising? What's the status?
Well, Maria is putting together something she's going to be producing, as well as serving as the voice for a card that we want to get going. So, Maria, why don't you talk about where we are with that?
Barbara sent out, they developed the script for what they would like to have on the five Pacific stations and whatever other stations we can have air the cart, and I've made some comments about the script so far and done some edits, and I'm hoping the other committee members will do those edits that will go on our stations. We are also requesting that Democracy Now! Announce, that Amy Goodman just announced during her show, that we're also looking for the ED, and to go to Pacifica.org for more information. Although I went to Pacifica.org, and I guess it's not up there yet.
What is not up there?
I couldn't find our ad.
Hmm.
On our own website.
Now, Ambrose, we had sent the updated language was sent to you by MPPN. Have you had an opportunity? Did you get that?
I haven't received it.
Yeah, because I saw the email. It's, if you look on it, it's coming from MPPN something, and it says updated web language, and it's written to you, and it says please post at Pacifica.org and the five stations.
Never seen it.
All right, well, I'll open it and forward it to you again.
Okay.
But it came directly from, it was like 2-3 days ago, wasn't it, Maria?
Yeah.
So I'll forward it to you again.
I appreciate it.
So it'll be forwarded from me.
Okay.
And then that way, but it has the web language, and that should go on. Now, Maria, once you, when do you think you'll have recorded the card?
Well, I could do it any moment as soon as the rest of the committee weighs in on if they're comfortable with the script that Barbara and Gary have drafted.
Okay.
So that's the only delay is that the committee needs to all weigh in on that.
Okay. All right, I'll send the email out to that effect. Is there anything else? Wendy, I know, is going to Grassroots. Steve is going. We're going to take some material there. Bob is going to that, so we'll try to dredge up some interest there as well. But the pace of the resumes is going very well, and we've only been out there for about 4 or 5 days. So with 26 resumes so far, I'm sure we'll have more than enough work to do when we begin to try to narrow it down. So that's all I had, Julie. If anyone else on the committee, Bob or Maria or Steve, anyone wants to weigh in, you know, please do so. Wendy?
I have another question after that, Dave.
Well, this is Bob. I can just add a little more detail about the postings. We carefully went over a list of proposed places, organizations with which to post, both online and in print, that was prepared by NPPN, and then we approved a list that I think at this point it's a very modest amount of money that's been spent on advertising. Maybe, Mark, would you say about $500?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a modest amount.
Yeah. I mean, there will be a few more. There's still, the firm is still researching a few other options for us, but we're trying to get it out there as broadly as possible, and including some definite efforts to reach organizations that address concerns of communities of color, so that we're sure to do, as well as women's groups and lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered groups. So we're really trying to do, you know, a serious effort to reach out to all communities.
Okay, Dave, your question?
Our LSB at our last meeting asked what, if anything, they could be informed of with respect to criteria by which the company is going to look at the resumes. And I know that might be an issue because you don't know what you want public of that to candidates. But anyhow, if we could get some sort of answer to them, many people on our LSB are interested in seeing that.
Well, we don't have the criteria that the firm is using is drawn from the posting language that you received.
Okay, but any information that they could provide that could be made available either privately to LSBs or preferably publicly about the way they, anything about the process and the way they evaluate. Because right now nobody knows, for example, what the ESC is going to see, what the company is going to see, what sorting criteria they're going to be, et cetera, et cetera. So any information that could be provided would be much appreciated by our board at least.
Okay, Julie, that's all I have.
Is that possible, Mark?
Well, what I can, I mean, when we meet with the on the second, what I can do, I'm not exactly clear, but what I can, you know, do is ask the firm what they intend to do. Now, what they had said to us is that the if you look at the web posting in terms of the background, the experience that we're looking for, that's how they'll be evaluating the initial set of resumes to determine which ones to pass on to the executive search committee and which ones clearly are not don't meet those qualifications that we set out there. That the criteria is basically that web posting language in terms of background, experience, etc. But I mean, I can get a clearer idea from them, or you know, what happens to those that don't, that they decide not to pass on to the committee for whatever reason. But when I spoke to them today and asked, what I was told was that they were using the job description of the web posting that we had created, and that would be the telling criteria in determining whether someone was up to moving on to the next round or not.
And Julie, this is our... Hello?
Are there any further questions for the executive?
You're a star.
This is Teresa. I have a question.
Julie?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Go ahead, Teresa.
Hello? Okay. All of a sudden, Julie, you're really faint. My question is, did we bother to ask the search company if there is something else that we should use? For example, the criteria that we gave when we reviewed Dan Coughlin created some sort of criteria. Would that be of use in search? Do we ask any other questions?
Well, I mean, we asked them a lot of questions, but they, from the conversations that I've had with them, and I'll follow up with that, but they feel comfortable, I mean, speaking to them today, both Gary and Barbara, feel comfortable with the posting language that we developed in terms of being able to see who would or would not qualify. So they're looking to see how closely resumes or contacts align with what we said we wanted in the actual posting language, which I think was, you know, praised on a lot of quarters. That's what we're using, and that's what they're using to help narrow it down. So if they have no experience in some of the key areas that we asked for, then obviously that would be a problem.
But, Mark, may I say something? This is Rob.
Yeah.
I think what the people are getting at is they'd simply like to know that there are maybe five or six or four or three key rating criteria that are used, and they'd like to know what those are. Is that not what your LSB is interested in, David?
I think that, and they also want to know, like Mark alluded to, what happens to other applications, and they want to know what kind of filter the company is functioning as. So they don't right now understand what precise job the company is doing. So I think they wanted that as well. But yes, you're right.
But they just want a basic, how are they operating? They're not trying to get every little...
Right.
No.
They're just
completely
in the dark about what it is and what it's for and what they're doing. So you, well, yes, you are correct.
Julie,
but one, I guess what I'm saying is, and I understand, and I'll try to get some clarity on that, but for example, if you look at the web posting, I think we list 7 or 8 things that are critical for this position, and those 7 or 8 things are the 7 or 8 things you're talking about. So I don't know how those 7 or 8 things need to be repeated in a way that's clearer than the way they're listed there is actually in order of importance. So those 7 items that are listed point by point in the posting are the 7, you know, primary areas that are being looked at in the resumes.
This is Bob.
There's no difference between them.
This is Bob. I think the questions that other board members are raising are valid, and I think we the Executive Search Committee should put this question on our next agenda to clarify, because it's not even clear in my mind now after hearing these questions and comments that we've ever had an explicit discussion with NPN about the process, and because the question could be, well, this person has 5 out of 7, do they stay or go, or this one has 3 out of 7. So I think it would be a healthy conversation to have, and maybe we could all make sure that we're agreeing on exactly how they do their sifting, and then we could report that back to the LSB.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that I would say we'll meet with them on the 2nd about that. But I mean, just between now and the 2nd, because there are receiving resumes on a daily basis, I'm just suggesting that those members, like for example the LSB and NLA, whatever those people who want to see what those criteria items might be, should probably look at that posting, because where I think they're listed.
Sure.
But in terms of the procedure, certainly, because like when I spoke to them today, they said we received 26 resumes and we considered 10 to be very viable. Now, what makes that determination is something we'll talk about on the 2nd, so that we can get back to everyone and let them know how they're deciding, who the candidates are that are strong and who they're not. When I asked her today, her answer was, we're looking for the candidates who meet the criteria, the objectives that you outlined in your posting.
This is Wendy. Can I say something? It's pretty obvious to me that this company is very, very capable, and they've worked with boards choosing executives before, and they know that we don't all agree on everything, and they know that we don't expect necessarily to get someone that has every one of those bullet points. What I've always assumed we were going to do, and yes, you're right, we do totally need to have this conversation with them to get more clarity, but what I think they're doing, this is what they're doing. They're going to weed out the ones that are just ridiculously unacceptable, and then there's going to be some that they are just going to themselves put into the finalist category, and then there's going to be a bunch of them that they're going to, ask us. I mean, it's us who decides in the end, and so we can, tell them, show us everything, but then kind of what did we hire them for? We will have this conversation, and it won't be any cut and dry, if they only have 4 of the points that we asked for, that they won't even show us that. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think we will make sure that we see that kind of stuff.
And one thing that Wendy said that I did want to echo is that I do have a good feeling about the professional capabilities of the firm that we hired.
Yeah.
And so in many ways we are letting them do what they do and what we're paying them to do, but in no means, this is Pacifica, is anything going to happen without us, thoroughly understanding the process. So as I get more information, I'll get it to you.
This is Dave. I think just something like it said, for example, whether or not that company is going to be forwarding everybody that it finds above a certain threshold, that, something like we score the candidates, everybody that's this, or whatever they can tell us about their criteria, or if they say it's important that be confidential, that's fine too, I guess, but if they say, we're going to forward the 6 best, or we're going to forward the 8 best, or we're going to forward everyone who's over a certain threshold, or we're going to, whatever is the case that can be explained, that will be helpful. And I will tell the board in the meantime, I'll forward them the job description and indicate that the points listed in that job posting are the areas of evaluation.
Okay.
Okay, point of clarification, Madam Chair, is it my understanding there's no motion for this agenda item?
No, there's not.
Okay.
Julie, is there anything you can do about your phone? Your voice is very faint.
My voice is faint? Is that better?
Yeah, we can't hear you, Julie.
That's a bit better.
Are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah, I did.
In a large auditorium?
Is that better?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
I think we should have a motion, no chairing from speakerphone.
Sorry, I apologize.
Try.
Let me know if you guys have problems hearing me again. Okay, are there any other discussion items for the Executive Search Committee? I just had one quick question, just more logistics. When is the deadline? Is it August 30th or September 1st?
We haven't set one yet.
Okay.
But that's a good point. At some point, I think we should set one and publicize it.
Yeah, and maybe just what the timeline is as well. I think that would be
I will say that we're still planning to have the finalist candidates available for interview at the board meeting in Houston. So that is our goal.
Okay, great.
Point of information, Mark?
Yeah.
How many candidates are you going to have us for interview there, this meeting in Houston? Three or four?
Something like that. We haven't come up with the exact, but it's going to be more than one or two, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
It kind of depends on how many great people we get, you know.
That's
it could be five if they're all really great.
That's right. That's fine. Thanks.
Okay.
I remember, the firm had said that they would like it to be, you know, they're looking for three, four, five names, that, you know, that category. But we'll see, and I'll let you know ahead of time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. If there's nothing further for the Executive Search Committee, why don't we move on to the Coordinating Committee motions and... Dave, I don't know, do you want to present this? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
I sent around, the first thing is the communications policy, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I sent around again today a listing of that policy, the proposed changes, and integrated it into the original motion so you could see what the revised final motion would look like. The motion coming out of the coordinating committee was to revise the communications policy so that information requests from directors are made directly to the executive director and CC'd to the PNB. The executive director will schedule fulfillment of the request, and the coordinating committee will review the status of requests at each meeting. And the mailing that everybody got with the agenda that said it was tabled by the CC until the next meeting was actually from the prior meeting's minutes. So we passed that at the last meeting, and I sent a special notice around to everybody after that meeting with the revised text. My apologies, the original text of the motion, which I appended in that email last week, had a different motion from the list. I hope everybody figured that out and was able to. The link to the original text was the right link. But in any case, presently what happens is that the CC is supposed to meet biweekly and that information requests are scheduled on the CC meetings. When we had originally proposed this, Ambrose had argued that the request should go directly to the ED. So basically this change strips away a lot of the bureaucratic stuff and basically still has the coordinating committee engaging in oversight of request fulfillment and tracking of the number of requests. It still has the PMB being notified, but it basically allows directors to make the request directly. I'll read the, if it's okay with people, by the way, this doesn't modify any of the existing policy with respect to local station board requests, and I can read the text of what would be the revised communication policy. Is that all right?
How long is that?
One, two, three paragraphs, four paragraphs.
Okay.
I mean, I can do it in less than 3 minutes.
Okay.
Do people want? Okay, resolved that any director or directors in need of documents or information from foundation management personnel shall inform the executive director and the PNB in writing via email. The ED will schedule fulfillment of the request and the coordinating committee will review the status of pending requests at each meeting of the coordinating committee. During its meetings, the coordinating committee will be notified of the time frame for response to each request and who will be responsible for responding to the request. It's expected that requests of information to be provided by management personnel will be assigned by the executive director, assigned to the executive director to delegate to other personnel as appropriate. If the executive director believes that the information request falls within the narrowly restricted range of requests that may be legally denied, she or he must submit the request to Foundation Counsel to provide an opinion on whether the information request may be legally denied. Foundation Counsel shall speak with the requesting director concerning the request prior to providing his or her opinion. If the counsel indicates that the request may not be denied, the ED shall make arrangements with the director to provide access to the needed documentation, copying the board with these communications. If Foundation Counsel indicates that grounds exist for denying the request, then any further consideration of whether to meet the request must come before the full PNB at a regular or special meeting of the board. That last is in the existing policy. At each regular meeting of the PNB, the coordinating committee report shall include a listing of all requests considered, including dates on which they were considered, dates agreed to for fulfillment, and the actual dates of fulfillment of requests. And I would add to that that the way we've been doing it is those data are in the minutes of, the minutes of the coordinating committee that I send around after every CC meeting. So that's the proposal. It was approved by the coordinating committee for consideration by the board.
May I ask a question?
Julie?
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Julie?
Ms. Chair?
Go ahead, Rob.
Hello? Sorry, I had star six. Go ahead, Rob.
I'd like to ask, does the PNB have the ability to ask directors that request information about their requests?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's no...
But there's nothing there to that effect.
Yeah, there's nothing to that effect. Any questions could come at when the coordinating committee reviews those requests. That would be a place to do it. It can also obviously be done in email or at PNB meetings.
I have a question, Dave.
Well, I think it should be clear that the board has the right to ask questions about the requests if they see fit of someone that's making a request. Because I can see why some requests might, you know, require some exchange between the board members and the requester.
Well,
I see no problem with people asking for documentation, but I also think it's healthy for there to be a discussion about that.
But they're asking the ED, right?
Julie?
Yes, go ahead, sorry.
I have a question to ask. Dave, does anybody know if we have any corporation attorney for our Pacifica right now?
That would be gross. You'd need to ask.
Did the communication coordinating committee at all talk to anybody about if anything that would affect this one in one way or another or something?
Well, we did not. When the original communications policy was passed, it integrated comments by counsel that we had received at that time. And I haven't seen anything that contradicts it, nor does anything that this modifies. I mean, this is just the flow, the direction flow. It doesn't modify any authorities anywhere. In other words, the CC didn't have the authority to dictate anything or to prohibit anything. It was just simply a tracking mechanism. And this simplifies it so that we don't have to deal with the fact that, you know, when the committee can't meet or hasn't met, et cetera, that there's some bottleneck there.
I remember that when the first policy was instituted, I think it was you who came up with the policy.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of legal mumbo-jumbo you had in there.
That's all still in there. Oh, good. This just changed the direction of who gets asked what when.
Yeah, well, this is just more on the process.
Anyway, so I was just wondering, you know, and all of a sudden everything, I hope, doesn't disappear. I mean, because you did some research on it, you must have, you know, the committee.
Again, none of the mumbo-jumbo's gone. And that's why I worked it into the policy so you could see where...
what it was replacing.
Okay.
Are there further questions or discussion around the new communications policy?
I just want to make sure that the board has the ability to ask questions about these requests when they're made.
Okay, is that something you feel needs to be in the text of the motion, or that could be an understanding amongst board members?
Maybe if it can be incorporated, that'd be good.
Okay. I have a question. Can anyone hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Teresa.
I think Rob has a legitimate question. Explain to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it makes it sound as if one director, if they want some information, they have the right to go to talk to the attorney about it.
No, this is to talk to the executive director.
Okay, so one, if I just want some information, I can call directly to the executive director and say, I want this. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
No, it's in writing via email.
Oh,
so I have to put it in writing and send it to email to the executive director.
And CC the national board when you do it.
Okay, and wasn't there something in there about the attorney?
If the ED believes the information request falls within the narrowly restricted range of requests that may be legally denied, she must submit the request to the Foundation Council to provide an opinion on whether that can be legally denied. The council will speak with the requesting director prior to providing that opinion.
But wasn't the information policy, this is before my time, but wasn't the intent of it to keep the staff from getting inundated with requests for information that will paralyze them?
That's right.
I would argue no. There is a right of directors to ask for requests. What it was to regularize the process so that basically they would get them all together at the coordinating committee meeting. But it doesn't make it's not a filter on the number of requests in any way. The other purpose of it very much was that we could see, so that the board could see what requests were being made, because frequently when we were told we're getting requests from around the network, we had no idea what those were. So some of the policy was about the LSBs and how they asked for things through the committees, and that's still intact. This just changes the fact that instead of writing to the coordinating committee, and then whenever the coordinating committee was supposed to meet biweekly in this and bring those forwards biweekly. But functionally, it doesn't seem to make any difference. And we've had a problem recently when the committee wasn't meeting that you just couldn't get any requests filled. There was also, in my opinion, some misunderstanding. It was never intended to deal with inspection requests, but that's been sort of bundled in. But this doesn't deal with that one way or another. This change just says we let the ED know, and the ED schedules a response.
But that's the confusing thing to me, because my understanding is that the inspection requests are quite clear under California state law, that directors can go and look at documents as they exist in files. I thought the purpose of this information request policy was to address, as I recall what Dan said, was the syndrome where the staff is spending hours Xeroxing thousands of pages of documents and preparing reports as they come in from all over the place. That the idea of this policy was to coordinate the requests and make sure that people aren't, you know, I mean, you could see a situation where people might be unintentionally doing it, or maybe intentionally doing it in a way that it becomes harassment of the staff and there's no control of it.
This is
Lavorie Maspeak.
Okay, I would like to say
wait,
something.
Let me make a stack. I have Teresa, Lavarne, and then Dave.
And then Wendy.
And Sarah.
This is Teresa. I still think that the request should go through the coordinating committee first. Then you can't have one maverick person that wants this and wants this and wants this and is constantly just sending things to the ED, which if the ED wants to refuse, actually has to get an attorney to weigh in on. I think it should go through the coordinating committee. And if the committee says, oh, posh, that's not, you know, we're not going to deal with that, then I think that's reasonable.
Okay, I have Lavarne next, and then Dave, Wendy, and Sarv.
Yeah, this is Lavarne. Thank you, Madam Chair, or Acting Chair, or whatever. But, I think that Dave outlined the point in terms of what he's attempting. I'm neutral on the motion right now. But I think Dave outlined in terms of this does not apply to to a director inspection request, and that the point of people asking for reams of information and making lots of copies, I really don't know who has done that in the past. And I know in the inspection request, there was never that request from the National Board, although it was produced, but not at the director's request. So I'm not really sure, and you said Dan said something, so I'm not really sure to what time period we're talking about. But I think Dave has clearly outlined that these are the requests that are coming through either the LSVs or the directors, and that he's trying to put the process in place so that it goes directly to the ED, and then also copying the coordinating committee. So I don't see any confusion in this. I think it's very clear-cut.
I'd like to get on the back again, too.
Okay. I have Dave, Wendy, Sarve, and then was that Steve?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the experience has been there have not been reams of requests. There, as far as I know, there was one large request from one director prior to the end of her term that basically just never got processed. But in reality, what turned out was that the number of requests were not that great. They were all documented through the year. What this is really doing is getting rid of clauses in that communications policy that require that people weren't following anyway. Like, for example, the coordinating committee has to get it 3 days in advance. Then the chair has to aggregate the agenda and put them all on the agenda. And there were some other things. And I mean, it's in that email that I sent you. But all this, it is still the case that if the ED has any issues with the requests, they would get the status of that scheduling would get reviewed in the coordinating committee, which would be the appropriate time for any directors with questions to submit them to the coordinating committee to ask, et cetera, et cetera. It's still the case that if there's a difference of opinion over whether such a thing should be provided, ultimately that would come to the PMB. It's not the case that the coordinating committee mechanism was ever a filter. The coordinating committee was never granted the authority to turn these things down. It was a monitoring process. And all this says is, rather than sitting around and waiting, because, for example, suppose there is an information request that is absolutely trivial, that somebody needs quickly. Like, for example, what's the total cume of the network, for example. They submit it directly to the executive director. They CC it to the board. If the ED has no problem with it, they fulfill it, you know, immediately, as opposed to having to wait with the coordinating committee, just for your information, is meeting once monthly now. So there are things that can be quickly dispensed with. And if you have this policy in place, then it can be quickly dispensed with. If there's something controversial, the executive director might very well say, I'd like to discuss this with the on the next coordinating committee meeting. And so there is nothing about the functioning of the process that this alters, other than that the request just goes to the ED right away, and the ED can deal with it right away. It's reviewed by the coordinating committee.
Walker, would you like to get on this deck?
Okay. Hold on 1 second. Next, we have Wendy. I heard Mark. Who else is that?
And Donna, put me on the stack, too. I have a question.
Can I say Zarina is on?
Okay.
Hi, Zarina.
Hi.
And William Walker.
William. Hi,
hey,
William.
Hi.
Okay, so let me read off the new stack, and if there are people that I've missed, let me know. Wendy, Sarve, Steve, Mark, and Donna. Go ahead, Wendy.
Dave said a lot of what I was going to say, but I think I can do it in less words. The coordinating committee was never the ones who were deciding if the information request was a good idea. They were just there to track it. We had been told that so many people were asking for stuff that there was no way the staff could come up and could do it, and so we put in a place this process that, and since we did that, I don't know if it was a problem before, but since we did that, there haven't been an abundance of information requests. And I need to reiterate the difference between a director's inspection and an information request. This is more about producing reports or giving us something that's already there. And it doesn't involve Xeroxing in this national setting. It just involves forwarding something, but it often requires something be produced. And so that was why we wanted the PNB to be able to know about it, through the coordinating committee. The coordinating committee would track those requests. It hasn't really been a problem. And as far as long as I'm not misunderstanding something, I totally support this motion. It's the same thing we're doing now. It's just that now you just send it to the ED. You don't require the coordinating committee to meet every 2 weeks anymore just to see if there's another documents request. And by the way, the executive director is a member of the coordinating committee, so that was like double work for him if there wasn't, you know. So I think that this is fine. There's nothing different about it, but it is not covering the issue of director's inspections. Yeah, of course, anybody can ask questions that they want to, but this is just a way to make sure that, well, to make the process easier, because we have too many processes that are too hard. ED was going to get the request anyway from the coordinating committee on that same meeting. Now he'll just get it. We'll still all know, because now actually it's better, because not only the coordinating committee will know, but the entire PNB will know, because they'll be CC'd on the request.
That's the same in the two policies.
I don't think that's less words, though.
Me either.
Okay, so...
No? Yeah, no, I went on too long, sorry.
Hello.
This is Teresa. Well. Okay, so I was up. Teresa, I'll add this to the stack.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. You know, these kind of things here, you can come with arguments on all sides of it at all times. But I, so far, I'm not really convinced. As long as the inspection rights of directors are no way involved here, I don't see a great deal of reasoning here for changing the policy. And the reason for that is that I agree with partially with what Steve had to say. The original intent also was that the coordinating committee would assess the staff resources and the timeliness of it and how much money should be spent, and then coordinate that, the timing and the request of it, so that we are more efficient.
Pardon me, this is Lavarne. Sorry, Sarah. I don't mean to interrupt.
Who's this?
If someone can mute their phone, I hear lots of stuff in the background.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now I've, you know, lost my train of thought here. Thank you very much for your comments.
Sorry.
Revising the communication policy right now and sending PNB to everybody in PNB another line of communication. We get about thousands of mails. I get about 200 emails a day, and from local and LSBs, and now all these requests are going to go through to every PNB member. Then what's the purpose of a coordinating committee if we have to do all that kind of stuff? I think that, you know, it should be vetted through the coordinating committee, and they and these are people that, you know, we elected them to that office and coordinating committee, and they can make assessment of it as to timeliness and resources, and they can continue the policy we had last time. And I don't see any reason to change it right now. Thanks.
This is Patty.
Well, I would just like to say that my comments are based on my own experience as an executive director in a small nonprofit, where one or two of the board members misunderstood their role on the board, and they felt they had personal rights to make requests of the staff, and were constantly micromanaging the operation in a way that was very disruptive. There's a big difference between the board as a whole asking the staff to do something and one individual board member doing it. And I see there's a lot of confusion about that that's mixed in with the inspection rights, which are not in question. California state law allows individual board members to make inspections. But that's not the same as saying that individual board members can make requests of the staff to do work. We can't allow that to happen, because we're not going to be able to keep staff. Anyway, I don't want to belabor the point, but that's what I was trying to say.
Julie, this is Dave. May I get on the stack?
Hold on, Dave, because we have a huge stack right now. Okay, next we have Mark, and then Donna, then Teresa, and then Dave.
Hi,
okay.
Can you hear me, Patty?
Sorry, Patty, you're after Teresa.
Thank you.
Did I skip you?